In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, God is one. Please be seated. Good morning. Beautiful sunny day this morning. Our sermon today is going to come from our gospel reading found in the fifth chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, verses 20 through 24. Today, our Lord, in this passage, has just finished the sermon, or in the middle of preaching his Sermon on the Mount. He's just finished, blessed are the poor in spirit, and blessed are those that mourn, and blessed are the meek. And now he comes to this concept of murder, and he comes to always go after the heart. Christ is always going after the heart of man. It's not necessarily the mind, although the mind is converted by the Holy Spirit. It's always the heart. And so he begins in this way. What he says is, for I say unto you, he says, that you have heard it said, thou shalt not kill. But I tell you. See how he does that? You've read, but I tell you. So now Christ, overcoming or superseding the Old Testament and the Old Commandments and the way of the law, now speaks about the matters of the heart and the soul and this deeper level of relationship with God. But Jesus begins this way. He says, for I say to you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. They have to understand, he's speaking to the apostles, he's speaking to the crowd that's gathered around, and he says to them, listen, unless your righteousness supersedes the righteousness of those people, and you know the scribes and Pharisees were there watching, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. And everybody there comes to this place of hopelessness. Like, these are the most holy people in town, these are the most holy people we know. How am I supposed to be more holy than these people? And what Christ is touching on is this same truth about the heart. That the people that he's talking about, the scribes and the Pharisees, have an outwardly righteousness. The showy righteousness. I tithe, I fast. And they go through all these different things that they do in order to please God, which makes them better than other men. But never do they take the time to address their own hearts before Almighty God. And the inner life, the thought processes, the things we think, the things we say, and the things we would do, but only reason we don't do them is because of this outward righteousness that we have. We wouldn't want anybody to see us doing it. And so Jesus begins his teaching today by saying, you've got to go into the heart in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. And we've talked about this, but what is the kingdom of heaven? It's not just simply this place in the sky that we go when we die. The kingdom of heaven is the will of God here on earth. It is the kingdom of God. It is the way of life in God. And what he's saying is this, unless your righteousness, and that is, unless you take to heart Christ and take to heart these things that he's teaching, then this is the righteousness he's talking about, the love and the interior life. Unless this righteousness is fostered, the kingdom of heaven will avoid. You won't be able to see or enter into it. In other words, you won't experience the kingdom of God in your life unless your heart is in it. Unless you've given him yourself to him. And then what happens is the Holy Spirit transforms us and opens our eyes to see the world the way God sees it. And this is what it is to enter the kingdom of heaven. To see the world the way God sees it. And to live in the world the way God has called us to live in the world. And to find that peace in a relationship with him. So he says, unless your righteousness exceeds their righteousness, and that's the scribes and Pharisees, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. I think for them, this must have been something that blew them away. They can't fathom. I mean, basically, they follow up by saying, who can be saved then? This is crazy, because they can't understand the depths of what he's trying to say. And this is what Jesus' ministry is. He's slowly, through illustrations and parables and stories and teachings, he's bringing people to the matter of the heart. As St. Paul talks about this circumcision of the heart. In the Old Testament, God says, I'll take your heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. And now he goes to this concept of murder. He's been addressing all these different types of sins and things that we do and don't do. And now he talks about murder. And he says, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Whoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, in other words, you read from Moses that it's wrong to kill somebody. And if you kill somebody, you're going to stand in judgment. And you'll probably hang or be stoned or whatever they did back then to punish you. But I tell you, whoever is angry with his brother without a certain cause shall be in danger of the judgment. So he takes the law of murder, which is an outward law, just like the Pharisees are focused on outwardness and appearance, and then he brings it to the heart. You've heard, don't kill somebody. Don't stab them. Don't beat them over the head. Don't kill them. I'm telling you, if you're angry at somebody without a just cause, you're already killing them. You're doing the very thing that you're forbidden from doing. So he takes it deeper into the heart. He says, you'll stand before judgment. In other words, the same consequences as if you actually killed them. Because in your heart, you have killed them. And if you could and get away with it, you probably would kill them. This is what he's saying. So he's talking about the interior life again, bringing us deeper. And then he says this, I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. So he takes now this word, Raca, which is Aramaic for, I guess the best way I can say it, is empty-headed, or stupid. So first there's anger in our hearts. He says, you're going to face the judgment, just like if you killed somebody, if you have no just reason to be angry. But then you start to murmur within yourself. And what do you say within yourself? That person's empty-headed and stupid. That person, we marginalize them like they're not even human anymore. This is how we have mass, you know, murders and stuff. This is what happened in World War II. You marginalize a group of people to the point where they're not human anymore. And you say in your heart, and see what's happening now? What he's talking about is this progression of hatred from this person bothers me. I can't stand this person. I'm angry. To they're idiots, they're fools, I can't stand these people are stupid. How many times do you go to the workplace and they'll say something to that effect? You know, somebody will make a mistake and you're like, that person is so stupid, they screw up everything, they're worthless. And then Jesus goes to the next level. He says, but I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whoever shall say to his brother, Raca, you know, stupid, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. What he's saying here is when you come to the place when you finally marginalize the humanity of a person, you're in danger of hellfire. Why? Because this is how murder happens. You're in danger. You're putting yourself into a place where terrible things can happen. And so the call is for us to look into our own hearts. And then I'm sure there's people in your life that frustrate you. And there's people in your life that you would prefer to not have in your life, maybe. And there's people who you've laid in your bed and thought about how you would like to not have them in your life. Let's put it that way nicely. What Christ is saying is that this is a dangerous precedent that we're slowly setting from this idea of being angry to this idea of marginalizing to this idea of dehumanizing a person to the point where then it doesn't matter anymore. He was just a fool. He was just a nobody. It doesn't matter. And murder, Jesus isn't saying, is killing them. Murder is ostracizing them, and putting them off and out. And you know, when I was a kid, we used to do this in school. Every once in a while, there would be one kid. I was the kid one time. I moved here from Connecticut, and the whole class decided to ostracize me because they didn't know me. And I remember riding on the bus alone, and I remember going to school alone, and I remember nobody played with me. They just did this for a few days, but I remember how that felt. And I can say this, I wasn't murdered, but I felt murdered. I felt ostracized. I felt alone. I felt sad. I felt all of those things. And this is what he's talking about. And he concludes his teaching this way. He says, therefore, if thou brings thy gift to the altar, and remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first, and be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. In other words, the spiritual life of outward living, this outward appearance of spirituality, is worthless without the heart being in it. And so if we come to Holy Mass and the tithe basket goes by and we're offering our offerings to Almighty God and we're coming for communion, and yet in our hearts we've gone from anger to this idea of Raca to this idea of marginalization of another human being, what does Christ say? Just leave your gift. And go and reconcile first and make that relationship right and get your heart right before God and then come and worship me. And in that you will experience the kingdom of heaven, which will be opened unto you because it's a kingdom of the heart. Jesus says that the kingdom is close to us as close as our breath and our breathing. So what does this mean for us? I think ultimately what it means for us is that we have to check our own hearts. Jesus was teaching the disciples and ultimately Christians to check their hearts, to check their relationships. I'll say something that I know to be a fact, and that is that the devil winds himself up into strife, loves it. And when we have strife between each other, between others, the devil will love to be a part of that. And what he will say is, you are right. You have every right to be bad. You have every right to strike back. You have every right to take them out. You have every right because you have been wronged. And what Christ says is to take a step backwards and look into the inner heart and find mercy and charity even for those who persecute us, who hate us, who are mean to us. And in that, the kingdom of heaven is open to us. So I guess before you depart today, and maybe before you receive the sacrament today, you should bring to mind those people who maybe you're not in a good place with. And find within yourself the compassion and mercy of Christ, even if they don't have it. And even if they'll never show it to you. But bring peace to that relationship, to whatever you're able to do, and God will bless the rest of it. And then you can sleep well at night, knowing that the kingdom of heaven is being opened unto you, and you'll begin to see people the way God sees them, and you'll begin to love the unlovely, and the kingdom of heaven will be made manifest before you. Amen. Tough lesson. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God is one. Amen.